Season 1, Episode 16, A Sudden Fish, opens up Meta Boy's bitching about this commute and has basically a heart attack.
No, he has something even lamer, a fucking anxiety attack.
Well, I mean, it's not lame to the person who has it, Kyle. I don't know if you've had an anxiety attack. They're not fun or cool.
I don't know if I've had an anxiety attack to the point where I've had to go to the hospital, but I've had, like today was pretty anxiety riddled until about 2 hours ago.
Metaboy himself has a,
Metaboy just bitches out. Bitches out.
No, he has an anxiety attack. There's a difference.
Tomato, tomato.
Does it get cut to the wheelchair guy, the veteran, after that? After the intro?
I think as they're going down the stairs, yeah, they deal with him.
As they're going down the stairs, there is a
gentleman. But you're missing a point that Donna is not happy with Metaboy.
Well, she has to go, she goes to with him to the hospital.
Yeah.
Are we continuing that line, or are we going down the veteran one?
Sure. How do you want to do it today?
So they're bringing Metaboy downstairs. Abundando goes with him and basically tells Fancy, like, I'm taking personal time.
Yeah, giving which him... is like, okay, really?
Yeah, basically it's something that if, like, it was his wife or somebody important would do that immediately. But, so everyone probably assumes they're fucking, basically, right after that.
Oh, 100%.
And as they go down, there's a veteran in a wheelchair and he's upset that they don't have a ramp, which I imagine most people in wheelchairs would be.
Which, fair enough. I mean, the handicapped are people, too.
Yeah, it's just... I'm not saying it was an over-exaggeration. I think it was more of, like, really hammering home, like, this guy got fucked over today. Like, they took his good chair, because he got, like, a brand new chair.
He was having a bad day.
He's a guy in a wheelchair. He went to NAMM. He's obviously not doing too well, because we find out he visits, like, a prostitute. He doesn't have, like, a family or...
And he's hanging out at, like, CD bars really late. Just not, it's not going well for him.
And he saved up some money to get, like, a custom electric wheelchair.
Yeah.
And some dudes steal that and, like, some really expensive gun he has. And then you hear the story and it's really fucked up. And I think in that moment you can tell Sipowicz wants to relate to him because Sipowicz was in NAMM.
Yeah.
I don't think they even talked about it really that much yet. Maybe a little.
No, they don't really talk about it yet. He kind of keeps it on the lowdown.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't really talk about it. It's not out in the open to him.
So Sipowicz feels for him, and he it's one of those ones where Sipowicz gets on the fucking ball about taking care of it, because Sipowicz feels connected to it.
And then later you find out that the guy also kind of knew that Sipowicz was there too. Because the guy, like, I think they meet for the second time to talk, and the guy was like, you were there too?
Mm-hmm.
And Sipowicz was like, yeah, this, and the guy was like, oh, and they talk about it. So it kind of adds to Sipowicz's character, gives it a little backstory.
And the reason Kelly's not really involved is because Kelly is taking care of a bodyguard job.
Yeah, he says, it's like a good friend of his is dying. But he's, like, super rich.
Yeah, this is the thing that we want, that I wanted to talk to you about, if anything, with this episode. The dynamic of this rich guy is very strange. Because he seems like he's just good friends with Kelly, like, it's just a, like, guy that he plays pool with or something. And as it turns out, this guy is a little bit older, super, super connected and rich, and has this fairly attractive younger woman as a girlfriend.
Yeah.
But they're not married.
He's not doing half bad.
They're not married, and he said, yeah, like, there's even some groundwork that she says, like, he says, yeah, she never wanted to marry me because she thought people would think it was all about the money.
Yeah, she seems like a straight shooter. She doesn't seem like a gold digger.
But we had a disagreement about the last woman in a situation where it was a bodyguard that Kelly helps out, and we hear her side. Do you remember when me, you, and Dad argued about, what's her name, Wendy Malick, in, like, episode 4?
Oh, yeah.
And you guys were like, no, she acted in self-defense, and I thought, no, she planned, like, a murder and just wanted to have an easier way through it. But I think this woman is more sinister than we give her.
I think my argument was, did she kill the guy? Yeah. But I don't think she just pulled the trigger without, like, getting pushed to a point. Which I understand. Do I think maybe in her mind she was a little, like, ready to go? Like, had itchy, like, a itchy trigger finger? Maybe. You can have an argument there. But anyway, sorry.
But, well, this woman...
She's just looking to have a good time.
But this is what's weird.
She's the life of the party. She's been... Even the guy kind of is like, you know, she takes care of me. She needs to be able to go out and have some fun sometimes.
And she goes bowling, and she tries to pawn Kelly off on one of her girlfriends. And it's pretty obvious, because apparently... I think that's, like, kind of the horror friend. She found the horror friend in the group and was like, she'll bang this ginger.
Well, so, I mean, if you think about it, Kelly's, like, what, late 30s, has a full-time job, like, couldn't go wrong, you know what I mean?
He's ginger, he's not, like, gonna cheat on you. He's not...
Like he has his own place, like, you know?
This was made in the 90s, Kyle, that generation had more of a chance.
Yeah. But, no.
She kind of abandons the bowling to talk to this guy. And Kelly, well, he tries to do a couple things once he sees this. He, one, tells his friend he can't do it anymore, which is like, which would be the easier way. And then the guy basically says, I will outmoney that.
That happens a lot, I feel like, in this show, where people will see other people doing things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they'll take a side job.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we'll talk about it later on in other episodes. Like, a guy will take a side job, and something will happen, and instead of, like, just saying, like, what the problem is, they'll just try to quit the job.
Well, yeah, that's a way in writing to, like, make it, to make it look like, though, there's no way out of this new,
But here's the thing, like, it was this first night bodyguarding her.
Uh-huh, giving her a bodyguarding her, yeah.
It was his first assignment.
First day out with her.
And he comes back and wants to quit. Like, isn't that going to raise red flags?
Well, the way he did it is he said, oh, I'm slammed with other work.
Yeah, but, like, they make it out that those, like, two guys are good friends. That guy knows it's going to be bullshit.
Well, no, I don't think he does know it's going to be bullshit. I don't even know if they're that good of friends. I think he's just one of the only friends that would be able to do this for him, this bodyguarding thing.
I think we're hanging out on the bodyguarding thing for too long.
Well, no, the point is this. Basically, he tries to quit the job, and then the other guy goes around it. Then he talks to Robin, and he goes, okay, if I'm going to be your bodyguard, you're not going to see this guy when we're out.
Yeah, and then kind of, like, digs in to see what the deal is.
Because he's a good investigator. And then she says, oh, he's blackmailing me. And she gives a sob...
With sexual favors, too.
And that's the thing. And then she kind of finds a way to mention that she's had sex with him, but, like, make it so it doesn't... Like, it wasn't her idea.
Yeah, like she did it because she had to.
So then Kelly says, okay, we'll all run some whisper tough on his ass.
In a bowling alley, like, diner.
Where it's Kelly, like, it's supposed to be, like, Kelly's Quentin Tarantino moment. But, like...
Whoa, relax.
No, like, you know what I'm talking about? Like, what if it's, like, a gangster Quentin Tarantino movie and they just talk about how, like, they're gonna beat the fuck out of each other or something? So he's given it, but the problem is it wasn't written by Tarantino, and also it was fucking Caruso was doing the lines, so it's just not as good. Sipowicz is working on the veteran case.
Yeah, and don't they bring in somebody? Or realizes, he goes to the bar.
He goes to the bar, and the guy's like, don't give us any trouble, and then Sipowicz is like, I'll fucking give your bar trouble. So then the bar gives up a name. And it gives up the name of a whore that has sex with veterans and, like, dudes in wheelchairs.
It's just how, like, flippantly you said that. It's like, you know, whores who have sex with dudes and veterans, you know, dudes in wheelchairs.
He basically says, hey, so you fuck this veteran and you fuck a bunch of randos. Did you tell anybody about this guy's apartment? And then she basically says, I'll give you a name. And then he brings them in for a vocal lineup.
And they do that thing where they go down the line.
And they have the
like,
words.
The first guy, it's no. Second guy, it's no. Third guy, it's no. Fourth guy, like, the guy's, like, ears peek up. It's like...
Obviously, it's that guy. But
and then
you can't...
says no. And then they let him go. Cut to... Sipowicz gets a call that there's someone being stood up at a bar.
Stood up at a bar.
Or so, like there's like a guy has hostages held up inside of a bar. Come and to find out, it's the wheelchair guy.
And I think come to find out, it's supposed to be. I think it's the same bar that he even went to.
Yeah.
And what he did was he.
Again, I ask: is Sipowicz trained to just go in there rogue?
Well, somebody on Twitter, I think it was one of the dudes that follows us on Twitter, he says, I think Sipowicz's rank is just high enough that he's higher than those guys. So if there's nobody higher at the scene, he can just make decisions.
No, I think a guy who's there, like, running SWAT is the highest ranked guy.
I don't know.
I don't know, like, it just seems like Sipowicz just does whatever he wants
but
to do.
Is it possible? I mean, because I just saw Civil War. Is it possible that Sipowicz, because he's such a good detective and had such glory days, that he's kind of like a name in the force? Like, maybe he's not Captain America, but he's like the Punisher.
I don't know.
You know what I mean?
Like,
imagine if like a SWAT guy.
He has a lot to atone for still because he was a drunk.
But like, there's also rumors going around that he's atoning, at least in some circles.
I don't know. It's just weird that, I mean, first of all, the balls.
To walk up to
into any situation to be like, I'm going to take care of it. No, you're not. You're not going to go inside. It's like, do you want a bunch of people dead? I'm going to go in there.
And well, didn't he said, this is my case. I know the guy. And then the dude said, well, we're still going to wait for the negotiators. He's like, don't you think I can take care of it? And I think what he was kind of saying is like, I'm fucking Sipowicz. Also, you know it's my case, and I said I know the guy. Like, I'm not here to fuck around either. I think it was kind of like a dick measuring moment.
I mean, I don't know. It's just like constantly. He's like Batman.
Yeah, but Smits is like Batman too. And I wanted to mention this because it's kind of
Donna's pissed because Greg won't tell his wife. Anxiety attack.
No, it's not even that. He comes back. He comes back after going to the hospital, and they said he can go. And he comes back to work, and then Abadondo pulls a straight like married to him shit, and said, "When we were at the hospital, you said you were gonna get some stuff and go home."
Yeah.
And I thought for a second, I was like, "Wow, he got to have sex with Abadondo. He doesn't get to continue to, but now he just has a work wife." Because holy shit, like the guy comes back to work, talks to a couple people, and she's like on his dick about not leaving yet.
I mean, but I get it though. Maria would have done the same thing.
They're concerned.
I get it too, because if like something happened to Maria at work, and she was like, "Oh, I'm gonna go get some stuff," and she was like hanging around, I'd be like, "Hey, let's fucking go!" Like, you can talk to these people when you're like rested. I get it.
All right. I'm just saying. I mean, that's pretty big harsh on this mellow. Especially if you're supposed to avoid anxiety attacks, to run up to him and be like, "Hey."
Well, she's trying to help him avoid anxiety attacks by going home. The problem is he doesn't want to go home and he doesn't want to admit it.
Yeah, he doesn't want to tell his wife.
The anxiety's at home. I can't wait till we meet his wife because I think she's fucking insufferable.
Real quick, did you notice that Robin, when she was bowling, she went over the line?
No.
I know when she did.
No, but I love how like you're genuinely like that bitch should have that bitch should be marked down wrong. That bitch should be marked
well
like fault.
The reason I say it is because I imagined like John Goodman coming in over the line. Am I the only person that gives a shit about the rules?
What are you talking about? Smokey's over the line, dude.
Oh man, mark it zero.
Mark it zero.
Market 8, dude. Stepped over the line. Next frame. Yeah, once I saw that, I immediately, like, paused and rewinded it, because I was like, wow, she just clearly stepped over the line. That's against bowling. What else is happening?
So, we're missing the whole important, the most important part.
Mm-hmm.
Costas buys a fish.
That's right. That's not, well, it's not the most important part in the episode. It's the most important part to Sipowicz.
It's what the name of the fucking episode's about, Kirk.
Kyle, but the it's a metaphor.
I know, but anyways, so she brings him a fish, and it's a clownfish, and Andy is not happy about it.
And not only is Andy not happy about it, he turns into, like, straight-up mean girl bitch mode.
Doesn't he, like, not accept it?
Yeah.
And she's like, she says something like, oh, I'll take it back. He's like, well, what are you going to say? He's like, oh, don't worry, I'll just tell him that the guy person I bought it to for it turned out to be an asshole.
But she basically, she opens up the bag and she has, like, a fish in a clear bag. And he's like, cool, what's that? He's like, oh, I bought it for you.
Uh-huh.
And he just, like, stares at her. He's like, it's a clown. He's like, I know it's a clownfish. He's like, it's not going to work with my tank. And, like, just so dismissive, so bad that, of course, she's going to respond like that. It was the worst way to communicate your discomfort with getting a fish.
I mean, I kind of get where he's coming from.
Wait, you don't want women to buy you fish?
No, like, he doesn't like the fish because that's, like, not a fish he wants in his collection. And he's not, like, ready for change. And, like, his aquarium's, like, sacred, you know what I mean? So, I understand it.
He just responded terribly. I'm talking about the way
he just responded terribly to it. He should have said, like, oh... So, like, thank you, but no offense, like, this fish isn't going to work for this. Can we go get the right one, and I can show you which ones will work? And then, like, or something like that, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I understand, but definitely it was a Sipowicz.
Like, when I started dating Maria,
mm-hmm.
she fed my Red Sox obsession.
Mm-hmm.
And she bought me, like, a beaded necklace, like a Mardi Gras necklace with, like, a Red Sox pendant. I was like, dude, I like it, I have it, I'll keep it forever. When the fuck am I ever gonna wear that, you know? Like,
when you're showing your tits in New Orleans.
but, you know, she got it for me, she was in Vegas and thought of me, and so I'll keep it forever. But it's like, you know, I don't, like, she didn't need to do that. She, you know, like, that's kind of, like, my zone.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But
that's my zone.
I appreciated it. I acted better than he did. Because we joke about it now. When we see it, like, in storage, she'll be like, when are you ever going to wear that? It's like, yeah, I know. So, well, you got it for me, so I got to keep it. But anyways. So he reacts horribly to it. And they have, like, a really fun interaction when they're trying to, like, practice for a case.
Uh-huh.
Or practice for being on the stand.
Mm-hmm.
With her boss there, and he's sick, and they're kind of, she's being, like, real sassy to him.
Yeah, it's a real, it's a real big bag of sass in that room.
And then the guy, the boss, it all ends, and the boss is like, did I miss something? And then he goes, yeah, she's just me getting my balls busted. And she just dominated him. And it was funny.
Also, yeah, and that whole thing, the emotional back and forth relationship with Sipowicz, it ends with a conversation in the hallway where he gives a very, very poignant story about a fish he has, or he had at one point, that once he tried to make any changes in the fish tank, like, the fish wouldn't eat and it wouldn't do anything. So he was equating that fish to himself because he doesn't like change, he doesn't like people in his space. It was really touching and perfect, but then he basically says, I apologize for not responding well to your gift, and I should have said thank you, or I should have just responded differently. And then she kind of grabs his tie in the way women do when they're like, I'm going to bone you. And then they're good for the end of the episode.
He wants to have Andy Jr. come by, or am I skipping ahead?
You're skipping ahead. That doesn't happen this episode.
I'm sorry.
I don't think.
My bad.
I know that that's coming up where she meets Andy Jr.
My bad.
But I don't know if it's this episode for sure. And, speaking of emotional components, Kelly goes hard on this asshole for trying to blackmail this woman.
Yeah.
And then he comes back home to that guy's place, And he's freaking out because he knows that they took money.
Yeah, like, he set up an account. So, like, you come to find out that this man is dying, and he set up this account for her with, it's like, with millions of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
But she's never touched it.
Never.
And so Kelly, like, works out this deal, and, like, the guy's looking for, like, $3,500 or something like that, and he's like, give him $15,000. $2,500, give him $15,000. So he takes it to him, says, whatever's in there you're going to be happy with. If you contact her again, it will have a problem. I'm a cop. He tells him, I'm a cop.
Mm-hmm.
And so then when they come back, the guy's accountant lets him know that they've took out that much money, and he flips a lid.
And he basically... I don't know if he had them followed immediately after that, or if he just, like, yelled it out of the woman, but she's basically like, he basically tells Kelly, like, what is this about? Is she cheating on me? And now he's asking for money. Like, did you know about it? Blah, blah, blah. And Kelly rides the line perfectly, and so does this woman, so that he kind of, like, goes, okay, maybe she was just helping other people.
Yeah.
And Kelly leaves.
Because in a weird way, like, I don't, like, she was, I feel, maybe, I don't know how you feel, I feel she was kind of in a awkward space and got abused sexually. Like, you know?
Because she's in a situation with a dude that cannot have sex, and then she sees an old high school boy toy who's cool.
No, he kind of... blackmails her and uses sex and then stuff like that. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so I kind of feel bad for her, and I feel like she was put in a hard spot, basically. That's what I was trying to say.
I don't think so, but we'll talk about my theory later. It's way more conspiracy driven. But this guy, the guy and his wife, I wish if I remembered their names, it would be so much
Robin better. And Jimmy. I forgot the other Jimmy. One. Jimmy, yeah.
Jimmy basically breaks it down, and then Kelly goes, no, it's not like that, blah, blah, blah. We're telling you the truth. I don't think they ever cheated with each other, blah, blah, blah. And then Kelly gets a call later in the episode, they're getting married.
Yeah. Well, because he's dying, and they want to...
The only people that are there...
Well, she says yes, finally.
The only people that are there are a minister that's obviously Jimmy's friend. The best man is Dave Caruso. The best lady, or the... What is it, woman? Maid of honor?
Yeah.
That's
matron
the...
of honor? Matron of honor?
No, it's maid of honor. She goes... She turns out to be the woman that Robin tried to hook up Kelly with.
Yeah. She's all on Kelly's nut.
What I think is happening is this woman found a way to prove her undying loyalty for the dude. Moved up plans of marrying him to get all of his money after he dies because she found the perfect way to do so. Kelly is now wrapped up in this story, which he has to keep up appearances to seem like a good friend to him, I guess. She basically now has everything the way she wants it to get all of his money after he dies. And she just used Kelly and this guy to get to it.
I don't agree with you.
All right.
I don't know. She seemed too genuine.
But why? Because she always said, I never wanted to make it look like I did it just for the money. Okay, yeah. You're marrying him right before he dies in the smallest way possible so that the littlest people know until it's already too late and he's already dead.
Oh. Well, she already had a lot of money anyways. So whether she marries this guy or not, she still has a big amount. I don't know. I just don't see it.
I don't know. I don't trust her. That's my opinion after this episode. I do not trust the woman.
Yeah, I don't think she's as bad as you think she is.
All right.
I think she has good intentions.
Now to get out of the seriousness, MFK, Abundando, Robin, and LaSalle. It's a tough question.
F Abundando, marry Robin.
And kill LaSalle.
Kill LaSalle.
Kill the woman with two kids.
Sorry.
Kill the woman with two kids. That's alright. That's all right.
You're done.
We're not judging you. What do you mean my turn? I posed the question. I mean, it's never been my turn after you go.
Yeah, now answer your own fucking question.
I would probably, I'd probably do the same thing you did.
You're so lazy.
Well, I kind of like LaSalle, but I don't like her appearances more than the other two. You know what? Robin might be a murderer, so I'll kill Robin, and I'll have sex with Abbandando, and then I'll marry LaSalle. So those kids can have a father figure. Like that George, like that George Michael song, Kyle.
You marry Sister Act.
like George Michael. I will be your father figure.
Put your tiny hands on mine.
You gotta see Keanu. It's fucking so funny. Anyway, back to the show. Let's see, is there anything else that we're missing?
No, because it wasn't a famous face. It was all pretty, like, standard. It was all centered around the office, mostly.
Oh, I do have a Sipowicz quote. That's right. I did write it down. When he's interrogating the prostitute.
Uh-huh.
He says, "You want to bang Eskimos for whale sandwiches? I will put you on ice." And then I remember he has a great line. He has a great line in the bar where the guy's like, "Is there anything that you liked before all this happened to you?" And he's like, "Well, I liked my chair how I want it." He's like, "We'll get you the chair." He's like, "And me and Trixie had a thing going." He's like, "She's going to jail, but last time I checked, there are plenty of whores in New York City."
Yeah.
And it's like, oh shit. That's really harsh. It's a harsh thing to say to a veteran that only sleeps with whores. Yeah, it's a pretty straightforward episode. I mean,
it centers a lot at the office. Everything, like, this is an episode where there's a lot that takes place at the office. A lot of interviews in the office. A lot of Costas dealing with Andy in the office because she's pissed about the fish. No?
And then a couple of scenes in a bowling alley. Couple of iconic scenes.
So Crusoe was kind of just out, like, not. It's like it was just a day where Crusoe didn't have a case, so he just kind of fucking lived his life.
Because fucking Andy was doing it the entire time. He was ripping and running. He was cracking skulls in the street.
Yeah.
Because there was a veteran in trouble, so he was gonna help him out. It was a good one. It's another one where it's like, oh, the stuff that happens to John is not interesting, and the stuff that happens to Sipowicz is very interesting.
100%. 100%. But he makes it interesting. I guess he just has more, like, you get a lot more for, you got a lot from him right away. Like, he's alcoholic, got some race issues, you know, he has, like, but he's funny, and he's, like, kind of in your face, but, like, he treats everyone the same.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he'll get in everyone's face equally.
And, like, he'll give you props if you, like, do your job right, or if you're...
Yeah.
If he can tell that you're on the straight and narrow, he'll...
But at the same time, he may not give you props, and that's fine, because you shouldn't expect it, because it's your job.
You know? Like, it depends on...
That can happen, too.
But if, like, you go over... If you go over in a...
Yeah.
Yeah. If you go over and...
But he just has more. John kind of comes out of the gate boring. Like, oh, you lost your wife.
Yeah, that's why Smits, it comes out and it's like, I take care of pigeons. And you're like, what? Pigeons.
Pigeons.
And then he turns out to be the coolest character ever. Well, I mean, once again, I apologize. But it seems like almost every episode is us counting down until season 2. Which... There's a reason when you go to IMDb, NYPD Blue, the picture is the season 2 box art with Smits and Sipowicz, because that's where it takes off.
Thanks. Look at that. I mean, these are good. Like, rewatching them, they're good. Like, it's a interesting storylines. It gets, like, a little wonky towards the end, but, I mean, it's all right. It's just to get so much better, you know what I mean?
Like, it does. It revs up and then just goes to 100. Anyway, NYPD Blue Balls is on AshleyBlessPodcast.com. If you're interested in anything I'm just doing by myself, which includes other shows, at Kirk Has Glasses. Kyle, is there anything that you are doing or want to recommend?
No. I don't really got a lot going on.
Okay.
Yeah.